Hi, this is Terry. Although this is a liberating conversation full of uplifting and enlightening moments, we also discuss some sensitive topics that include assault and physical abuse. Thank you. It's Terry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm honored to have Lee Dawn Hershey today as my guest. Welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a privilege and just smitten to be here.
I mean, I know that you are many things, right? You're an actor. What would you say you are?
Honestly, a Swiss Army knife. I'm an actor, a model, an entrepreneur, but most and foremost, I'm a networker. That's what I love to do, is bridge the gap. Anything that I can do, if I don't have the means to do it, I will find you the means. And supporting women, networking with them is my number one.
I love that. What time of year are you born? What's your sun sign?
September 12th, 1985.
Oh, my gosh, you're a Virgo.
I am. And I actually are really close in our birthdays.
I've got Virgos all over my life. So Lee Dawn Hershey. Now, is your name Lee Dawn? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, living in Texas, actually born in Texas and raised, my birth name is Felicia, but growing up, I never really rang true with that name. It just was always different to me. And once I moved out to LA, I really started to come into my own and really figure myself out. And that's whenever I came out as gender fluid. And when I came out as gender fluid, a friend of mine was like, you know, I don't see you as Felicia. I just have always seen you as Lee. Can I call you Lee? And I was like, I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, my hands started to shake just like they are now. That's crazy. And I was like, that's who I've been my entire life, was Lee. You know, I'm gender fluid. At 4 years old, I knew that I was also had characteristics of a little boy, you know, and it was something I was terrified of, actually. You know, I thought it was going to kill me, meaning, you know, not just not being able to express it, but like society, and scared to death of my parents, you know, what they would even think. And so coming into my name, Lee, it's not just a stage name. It's not just something I want you to call me by occasionally. It's something that every single day I wake up and go to sleep, and it's Lee.
Wow, I love that. And I'm going to ask you, just as a person who is searching on the planet and wanting to know more, mm-hmm. I love that. Thanks for bringing your heart here today.
Thank you. Of course.
what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are situational, because I feel, like I said, really, I was reborn when I moved to LA. There was so much conditioning and so much that I was trying to be because people were expecting that. And instead of just trying to be something that everyone was wanting, I just was going to be myself. And so sometimes I'm really feminine. Sometimes Julia is more, and Julia is my partner. Sometimes she's more masculine than I am sometimes. And it's so beautiful to just not have to answer to anyone anymore. And she takes me for who I am, you know. So situational to me could be I'm in the laundry wearing crop top of her crop top that I just put on for fun. Or I'm out changing my neighbor's tire because her father never taught her to change her tire. And, you know, it's just in that moment when we're together, what I best represent, you know. And I don't want it to be this, you're searching to try and figure it out. Just what we identify with in that moment, you know. Just want you to call me like it is.
And what is gender fluidity? I mean, of course, I have a basic idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've got a tomboy for a daughter that identifies as queer, who dressed up as a little boy mm-hmm. most of her life. So I have an idea what that means, you know, but I don't really know what it means. So, and I think other people don't
know. Yeah, and honestly, you know, I'm figuring it out every single day. So I don't have an exact term, but I do know that I identify with both masculine and feminine qualities. And I feel as though inside I am almost two-souled. I feel I have a man and a woman inside, you know, and I've always been able to toggle between the two. And yeah, it's been a confusing as can be at times, but honestly, I know that my creator and my maker made me exactly how I'm supposed to be. And the struggles and everything that I went through, the trauma, the abuse, you know, it was leading me to this moment right here to be able to share with people my story or even just, you know, the way that I view it and could save a life out there to a kid that's just extremely confused. And it's like, hang in there, you know, like it only gets better. Like, and I can't say that, honestly, it only gets better for everyone, you know, because some people stay closeted or some people are just, they just can't for some reasons. But, you know, if you just like following your dreams, if you stay with it and you heal, you want to get to point A to point B to point C, you know, it's worth it and it pays off.
Right. It's like just staying true to who you are. Having that be, if it works for somebody, that's great, you know.
And even if you search for it for a long time, right, it's still, you're in that search, you know, and that's a process of healing. Every single day we have to work on healing, right, you know. And it's a challenge, but it's like the most rewarding gift I've ever had.
So where do you come from, and how has this been like with your journey with your own family? Can I ask that? Is there nothing off limits?
No, actually nothing's off limits. You know, I have not had an easy journey. You know, born and raised in Texas, just grew up, you know, Hamby Church of Christ and very Southern Baptist ways. My dad freaked out. You know, it wasn't good. There was a lot of, you know.
And what did you say to your dad?
Well, here we go. Pardon me on the water. I had a forced coming out, basically. I had a homecoming party my junior year of high school, and somehow the homecoming queen decided it was a good time for us to make out. And I had never kissed a girl before. I was not that person that was like, oh, let's get drunk and make out. Or like, hey, do you want to make out and see how it is? Like, I was absolutely terrified, because if I was to give in to that moment, these individuals would know that I was queer or I liked women. And that was like, honestly, it was the most terrifying thing, you know, was being queer. So then this moment, we share this kiss, and I look up, and like the starting five of the basketball team is on my second floor, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And so we go in the laundry room and end up kissing for a while, and I wake up the next day to someone had vandalized my Jeep already overnight with like 4 dozen eggs, and I never drove my Jeep with the top or the doors on, so this was like direct access, and I'm not going to lie, I had had a few drinks, so of course I sleep in, and the sun just baked it all in, and I had to hide my coming out from not only my parents but other parents, because I didn't want them to think that I was attracted to their kid or anything ill or malicious was going on in any way. So having to hide that, the friend who actually egged my Jeep, we ended up fighting after a football game, a real actual fist fight.
And this is a man or a woman?
It was a girl, and she was actually one of my friends from second grade up, you know, very close friend. And my dad was like, why did you get in a fight? You know, because, of course, right after the fight, I went home and told him. I wasn't proud of it. I was very upset about it. I did not want to hurt my friend in any way, but
right, push came.
She did not like the fact that I was, I guess, going to come out as a lesbian. And I told my dad, you know, it was because she was mad about a boyfriend or something, and she took it out on me. And, you know, that hurt me lying to him. Long story short, I hid it for just a little bit. And my girlfriend, I was dating a girl, she was older. She had been around. She'd been coming to the house a lot. My dad, my stepmom really liked her, you know, softball coach. She was older than me, and she lived in Austin. Something bad happened to her when she was in college. She was raped, and I was packing up my bag one night, like 2 in the morning, had school at 6 a.m. the next day. You know, my dad's like, what are you doing? I'm just going crazy in my house, and he's like, what's up? You know, like, what is it? And he's like, I'm going to get Erin. You know, she was raped. And he's like, well, why can't her parents, you know, handle it? And I'm like, Dad, because I love her. She's my girlfriend. And he didn't really know how to react, you know, because he cared for Erin in such a way of like almost like an extension of a daughter. But then I just hit him with a ton of bricks. And it's like, come on, guy, you knew. But like it wasn't good. You know, it got physical. It got very.
He's hitting you.
Yeah. You know, there was some abuse. There was some unnecessary force. Yes. And it was, you know, at the time, I didn't understand. And yeah, it was just madness, you know. And now I understand that it was, you know, it was all about him. You know, he was hurting and he still is, you know. My mom, of course, I sit my mom down. I get like the lights all set. I'm like, Mom, there's something. Because they're not together. They divorced when I was 7 years old. And I sit her down and she's like, are you kidding me? Do you understand how long I've just been waiting for you to come out? I'm like, Mom, like, you could have told me something. Like, you could have saved me a lot of pain here. She's like, that's not my job.
Right.
You need to go through what you went through. You know, my mom, pregnant at 14, you know, she didn't really get to go for her life. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've always been, like, kind of one of her little shooting stars of, sure, you know, of course she just, like, sees what, you know, it could have been in her shoes. And it's, you know, it's great because, like, she's always been kind of like an ally to me. And even though she doesn't really understand what I'm going through or like even agree with it, you know, but she's always just been that support. And I could call her up right now and tell her that Julia and I have a third lover or something bananas, you know, and she'd be like, well, babe, whatever makes you happy, you know. And it's like, I think where she's at in her life, she's to the point where she just wants to just be my mom and just love me, you know, and not like, not go with the past and or the pain anymore, you know. Yeah. I think we're both letting go of, you know, her not being there as a mom for me. You know, I have like deep, deep pain, you know, that has actually carried over into, you know, my age now.
Right.
But over the last year, I've been working with a therapist, and Julia and I go to the same therapist. We have weekly talks with her parents, which are phenomenal.
Wow.
And it really helps, you know. Talking about it is like, it saved my life, you know. Just being vulnerable, which, you know, I never wanted to be vulnerable because I didn't want anyone to judge me, you know. I had been judged so much at a young child, you know. So it's tough, you know. But I love Texas. I love everything about Texas. It definitely made me who I am. I will hold a door open for 150 people before I walk through it. And you know, it's not the fact that, like, oh, I feel better about myself. It's the fact that, like, if I can make someone smile in any kind of way, you bet your ass I'm going to go out of my way to make you smile. It's just, it's a form of healing for me, you know. So my coming out was difficult.
Yeah.
It was just so brutal. But again, like I said, I'm going to turn it into a movie. I'm going to turn it into stories. I'm going to turn it into a TV series. You know, all of these things are going to be made so people can see them, and it raises awareness and it saves lives because finding these outlets, you know, is definitely, like I said, a form of healing, and it's just, it's beautiful.
So tell me about... I know that you're working on a film, and tell me about this. You know, it seems like a good moment, and we'll include Lucy in here somewhere. But tell me about this project that you're working on, and is this, does this project come out of this story?
One of the stories, actually. Okay. You know, so coming out my junior year set me up for my senior year, which I was out and proud. No one was mean to me after the chaos my junior year. You know, I hurt her, but I stood my ground and kind of was like, you guys are really going to gang up on me for me liking a woman, but I'm going to be the captain of your teams. I'm going to be one of the, like, leading students that you guys trust. And so because I like women, this is going to all go downhill. I got kicked out of my, like, Young Life troop, you know. I was like...
Is that a religious thing?
It was a religious group. And so... Senior year was rough, but it was, I started to disconnect myself, you know. I started to, like, hang out with the older crowd because my girlfriends were always older. And so I never really, I wasn't hanging out at school that much. And that was kind of rough. So my senior year was, I was becoming an adult faster than I expected. And I was a little older for my grade. Obviously, my birthday's in September. So, you know, I was just trying to do anything I could to be away. And then here we go, fast forward to my freshman year of college, and my dad was like, right before my graduation, twins happened between my dad and my stepmom. So it's like, wow, I really am.
Wait, what does that mean, twins have
twins? My stepmom had twins with my dad. Like,
oh, got it.
Right, okay. After I graduated. I'm sorry, I probably could have worded that a little better. And it was like a huge awakening for me, where it was like, you are not the little girl anymore. Mm-hmm. You are now out. You're flying out of the nest right now. And I get to college with a friend of mine that we would come from the same high school, and we're in an off-site apartment complex. Well, coach hit us up last minute and was like, do you guys mind if we have another roommate? And I was like, no, I don't mind. No big deal. And we get this roommate. She happens to be the homecoming queen of her high school, valedictorian, the whole nine yards. So we're like, oh, goodness, what are we going to expect, you know? And long story short, as we're roommates and teammates, classmates, she starts to fall in love with me. But I was falling in love with her older sister, who she had brought over one night to party with us at the house. And it was instant. I mean, we fell in love, eye contact. And it was intense. We hid our love for so long. Like, we hid it from her. I mean, and think about this. This is my teammate, my roommate, my classmate. And she's like, why are you always leaving? You know, I'm sneaking out of my house. I feel like I'm back in high school, you know, like, using my other roommate as, like, well, not using, I don't want to say using, but they were helping me, you know, navigate in this apartment around our other roommate to keep it.
Because you didn't want to hurt her.
I didn't want to hurt her.
Right.
This, out of this entire thing, you know, I was gaining a friend, and I knew that she liked me, but it was like I would do anything and everything I could for her not to like me. But it was like that just fueled the fire more, which was bananas, you know. And this is before Facebook and, like, MySpace was a thing, you know. So it was just like there was a lot of pressure on her trying to figure out who she was. And there was a lot of questions, you know. I'm queer. And she's like, well, what do your parents think? What would they think? It was always a question of that. And so, like.
And was she out to you?
No. Okay. No. So that was what made it worse is, you know, I knew that eventually she was going to come out or say that she was bisexual or something, you know. But my coming out, I didn't want to put any pressure on her or even question her.
Right.
So, like, you know, there was that disconnection as well. And she started to be malicious. She started to, like, kind of figure it out, you know, because we, at the end, we were kind of loose with it, you know. And I had had some injuries in high school. So I had some medicine in the apartment that, you know, was pretty strong for my broken leg and my broken back. The night of our first date, she got upset because I told her everything. I was like, look, we've been dating. We are going to be together. And this is our first date.
Got it.
Sitting in the movie, I get a phone call and I show my girlfriend. She's like, do not answer it. She's just trying to pull you away. 20 minutes later, she gets a phone call, and it's from her parents. And they're like, you need to get to the hospital right now. And I was like, what just happened? And in an attempt to kill herself, she accidentally ended up killing someone else. And
how does that happen?
It was a... And see, here I'm torn because I don't want to give too much away because, like,
okay.
You know, for the
got
movie.
It.
And
I got it.
No,
okay.
No, but it. Oh, goodness gracious, how can I say this? It was an impact that was very brutal.
Right.
And the individual had been coming home from California to Texas, and she hadn't seen her family in quite some time. So you have to understand, you know, their parents had no idea that either one of them were. In queer in any way or at what was going on.
So they had, let's say, two lesbian daughters.
Yeah.
For lay people. And they just, the parents have no idea.
No idea. And, you know, that's one of those kind of conservative ways where, you know, just as long as it looks good outside, just keep it quiet, you know. And so that night, that big of an accident, seeing both of their parents as I walk in, to the hospital shoulder to shoulder with their daughter to see their other daughter who is being detained by the cops and from this horrible, horrible accident. It was a lot. And pretty much I got stripped of my NCAA rights and was told that it was probably best if I went and spent some time with my family.
Well, what had you done?
I got caught in the crossfire of just loving someone. Mm-hmm. And people were asking me what I did. And it was, you know, it was a Romeo and Juliet situation, you know, very tragic, where two people were just trying to love one another and an outside source that couldn't be involved became malicious. And
why wouldn't they have asked her to leave?
Honestly, that's one of those questions that'll be answered in the movie. And everything that is like buzzing in your brain right now will be answered into full detail. It's based on true story, obviously. We changed up quite a bit, but it is so varied to the story, and it's from my eyes. So you get a lot of insight and the what happened, you know. I fell in love.
Yeah, right.
A modern-day Romeo and Juliet that's just so tragic. Substance abuse, student pressure, student-athlete pressure, which is very hardcore in Texas. Substance abuse, mental illness, you know, these are suicide awareness and prevention. These are all topics that this movie touches on. And we are diligently working right now, going through, you know, all the logistics, getting our ducks in a row, and we'll soon launch our campaign for the funding, which, you know, I'll make sure you guys all be able to find out where that is.
Yeah, and to the extent that people want to be involved, at the end of the podcast, we'll let people know, you know.
Oh, yeah, great.
You know, how to find you. Let's say, how do we know each other?
Oh, goodness. We know each other from Lucy.
You know, from his left kid.
She is just an angel.
So you guys are booked with the same agency, right?
That's correct. Daniel Hoff Agency out of L.A. We are both represented by Daniel and the wonderful team there. It's so neat because I think we're kind of like unicorns there. There are not too many of us that look like Lucy and I. Mm-hmm. And it's just so great, you know, the team even taking a chance on us, you know.
Well, it seems like that chance has played off.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you've been in, I mean, tell me some of the projects or the commercials or, you know, things that you've been fortunate to work on.
Very fortunate to work on. Have one out right now, T-Mobile Moto. We are riding motorcycles and launching the new iPhone 11. So cool. That was a three-day shoot. Have commercials out from Google Nest, Vitamin Water, Jack in the Box.
You did something with Madonna, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Julia and I were featured in a Madonna music video, which is, oh, my. I can't even describe to you the feeling that was. It was so unreal. I'm trying to find the words for it. It was just very, very grateful for the opportunities.
Well, I know for Lucy that when she, you know, came to the agency, she felt like, you know, that, you know, nobody quite looked like her. And then she saw, you know, you, and she knew that you were really, you know, one of their top booking or top booked actors. And she was like, oh, you know, you were a role model for her. Like, oh, I can do this and I can make this happen. And all of that. So
that
I know
makes
that
me
you
smile
were,
from ear to ear.
You know, really special. So let me just get back to the pronoun thing. So let's talk about it. Tell me, why do people change their pronouns and why should people want to? And, you know, I just think for you know, a lot of people, it's like they may not get it.
Well, think about it. Healing is growing. Growing is healing. And in our process, you know, we carry things with us like bullying, and we carry things with us, like trauma. And so when people want their pronouns changed, it's because that's who they truly identify with. And, you know, it's a struggle for some people to do it, which I don't understand why, because it's, you know, one, it just starts with a question.
Right.
What would you like me to call you? And, you know, it sets you up for learning something and, you know, and it'll save a life. Honestly, when individuals are transitioning, you know, it's very tough. It's very difficult. I've watched a lot of my dear friends, you know, struggle with this. And, you know, I'm definitely not on a level of transitioning. But like when people don't call me by my name, it's pretty upsetting because I did the proper announcement. Like, wait, time out. Proper. Like, what is proper? So here we go. Like, what is normal? But I thought I did my due diligence. And on all social media, and I even hit up, you know, some of my family members, and were like, my name is Lee now. I would really like it to be addressed by that. And, you know, I know some of them do it on purpose, some of them don't, some of them are, you know, fumbling, but it's, you learn new features on your iPhone almost every day, or you learn new features on a game, or you learn to take a new street to work, and it's easier, it's helpful. Well, you could learn a name. It's not hard. You have slang, you know, there's all kinds of things, and it's just, why wouldn't you want to help save a life?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to be the change and see growth in where we are today? And how many times do you use they and them in a sentence? You know, right, it's just something so silly and simple. And yeah, I just, it blows my mind. But it's 2019, you know.
And it's where we're going. Indeed. I remember it was like maybe a year and a half ago, and Lucy's, you know, Lucy, some friends, change from she to they and them. And, you know, first of all, there's that thing where it sounds like, you know, we could be like, oh, it sounds like it's incorrect English, which for me is really actually not an issue because I barely speak English correctly and I don't know where commas go and I can't really spell. But I remember, you know, Lucy and Cece, and, you know, we were like, they and them, what do you mean? You know, mm-hmm. that's just, you know, and having like a resistance to it, and then saying, well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to say that, but I will use the person's name. And Lucy really, you know, she put my feet to the fire about it. And it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, is it more important to deal with my own comfort about wanting to be comfortable or about saying this is really what someone's truth is? And then why would I in any situation want, you know, not want to support someone's truth? So I think in a way for me, that's what it is that this is what someone's truth is. And it's like, here's the thing about the rest of people. It's okay if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hard. You know, I don't think the goal is that. It's really about it's about the other person.
Exactly.
And addressing them in a way that really, you know, resonates with their soul and who they are.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, well, we got to get past feeling, you know, uncomfortable.
Yep.
And just move into, you know, it's a new habit. It's a new skill learned.
It definitely. Again, you know, like I love what you said last night is, these people are like 22 videos deep on your story and then want to state that what they think, you know, and it's like, you could just sign off at any point. Yeah, I'm not forcing you to follow me or like me or anything of that nature. If you don't like what I'm about, there's a door. You know, I've spent so much of my life trying to make everyone else happy. And, you know, it was, I didn't know that I was killing myself in the process. And, my tribe is so much smaller. I mean, I can't even describe to you what my thoughts when I first moved to LA are completely different. I don't drink alcohol anymore. I'm like Julia and I are like 250 days. Just we're like, I don't really want to drink anymore. You know, just doesn't resonate with my life path. Mm-hmm. And it's a big part of me. You know, I've about 16 years. I'm a flair bartender. I do private events for high clientele, profiles, Tony Parker from the Spurs, Lady Gaga, South by Southwest, you know, like some big stuff. But it's so great to be the change and be the growth and actually, you know, instill that and be that. And it feels really good. I have never felt like this in my entire life. I'm really happy.
Well, you're absolutely glowing.
Thanks.
In the best way. So one of the things that I'm really excited about is that Lucy is going to be a part of this project that you're working on.
Yeah. The film is, it's so important. And Lucy was our missing piece. And you know how you said we're with the same agency. We had both been talking back and forth on Instagram like, whoa, when are we going to get booked together? Blah, blah, blah. And then Julia, myself, and my dog Baxter got booked on a T-Mobile print job. And as soon as we showed up to set, you know, Lucy was there. And we were like, oh, this is great. This is that time. And, you know, we didn't get to shoot together, but we were on the same set. And something clicked. I didn't know exactly what it was until I got home. And I was, you know, I've been working on this thing for quite some time. I sat down and was like, it's Lucy. It's Lucy, babe, it's Lucy. And she looked at me and was like, totally. I didn't even have to say anything to her. She already knew. And I was like, hey, would you like to read this? Read this, you know, I think you'd like it. she's just like, wow, what is even going on? Like, I feel like this is all a dream. It's unreal. And then, you know, as soon as we started diving into her character more, I will tell you, I am mind blown how similar they are. And it's like, it makes me shake, and it makes me like, this project is so serendipitous. I just am amazed every single day I wake up with how the puzzle pieces are just falling in. So Lucy is the glue, I feel, to this entire project. Once she came on board, just bam, 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 things just even more. And her energy, everything about her. We had a meeting before I flew out, and it's like, we just looked down, there was an hour totally gone, and I'm like, dang, it's just so wonderful to meet a like-minded person. And there's over 13 years between us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's like...
Because you look like you're like 22 years old.
Thank you. I actually just turned 34, and I feel like, I don't even want to say sister or brother.
Yeah.
But there is a connection there with mm-hmm. them that is just so strong. You're really going to love their character. They're going to do so well.
Well, I love that. So you've been really successful, you know, as an actor, as a model. Like, tell me how you've made that happen. I mean, I know in my business, I've made a lot of things happen. It's like just from like sheer will and drive and belief and, you know, being willing to be fearless and being willing to fly beyond my skis. And how have you done that in your business?
Honestly, you and I are very similar when it comes to our work ethic and believing in what we are, what we stand for. And even if we don't know exactly what that is, we know. And it's been a point of no return. If I don't do this, I feel as though I'm going to die. And that's looking at every single thing I said I was going to do 25 years ago, I am doing. And every single thing that someone told me I would never do, I'm doing. Oh, you'll never be a model with those tattoos. Oh, you'll never do this because you are queer or blah, blah, blah. You're too risky to represent. Well, you know what? I'm being represented right now for my tattoos and my queerness, which is unreal. I will stay visible. I will be visible, and I will be a voice for those who cannot right now. My goal in life is to network for women and save lives, bottom line. And not stopping. Just even if it's a dream, just keep dreaming that dream. I guarantee you they're gonna come true. If you put in the work and the time, it's so worth it. And
well, and I love your passion and your drive and your, you know, your excitement about what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of movies coming out. One, God Made Man, that's in post production. Parallel Path is making its way for, you know, the film festivals. And have a secret project I can't talk about that is actually being, writers are being brought on, and it's for a major streaming. So pumped on that one.
Got a lot of irons in the fire.
There's just a lot, you know, and that's like, as a kid, why can't you just decide on one thing? It's like, I can't, you know, I really feel like a little jumping bean. I need to be in more things, because the moment I sit down is the moment I'm done.
Right.
You know, it's like putting a fork in me. Like, what are we doing here? You know? So Girls with Flair is gradually just, you know, growing on its own, because as am I am Girls with Flair. And
what is Girls with Flair?
It is a full, like, free agency production company. I represent females. I get them from point A to point C without the B, which is the bullshit. And I throw large-scale events and showcase these talent in front of, like, Ruby Rose. These girls are breakdancers, go-go dancers, DJs, models, silk performers, graffiti artists, and I house them on one stage, you know, over a certain amount of time in that day. And in order for these people to see this headliner, they have to watch all these females perform. So they're getting to perform for a network that they never have before, demographics they've never been in front of, and I get them hooked up with castings or movies, commercials, and I don't take a percentage from them. I just want them to take the name of the company and the message that we're trying to deliver.
That's amazing.
I'm not going to use that. Yeah. One day I will have the first ever nonprofit, full-blown talent agency that is basically like a university for women. And I just want to.
Gosh, can't you do that and make a little profit too?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we definitely will. But you know, I just see so much growth in that in that outlet. You know, so I'm not going to stop.
Yeah,
Jules and I are embarking on some really great journeys together. You know, it's so lovely to have a partner that I can grow with,
yes,
and even be in the same outlets. You know, it's just really cool. She's always like, "Can I shoot you?" And I'm like, "Well, can I shoot you?" And yeah, she's like, "But I want to shoot you." And so, you know, it's pretty fun to, like, this entire trip, you know, we've just been getting footage of each other, and we're gonna make little videos, and we just got a lot of fun stuff coming up. Like, it's never a dull moment, and not one day is the same, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
It scares the shit out of me, but, you know, I'm doing something right.
You really are. You really are. And how it came to be was, when Lucy was on that T-Mobile, that print ad, and I saw you on her stories and everything, and then I went over and saw your page and, you know, saw that you were gender fluid and, you know, that you changed your pronoun and your name. And I was like, you know, this is a journey that I want to know more about. I want to ask these questions. I mean, the podcast started because of Lucy and I having a conversation about, you know, here's her as a queer person and what mm-hmm. that meant to her and my understanding of it. And it really launched because we were having a conversation and it began something we could have never in a million years. So it felt really full circle, you know, and I contacted you. I mean, that
almost
night.
It was immediately. Right. And I hit up Lucy and was like, oh, my goodness. I'm going to go meet your mom. I was like, this is an overload. I said, this is magical. Like, I'm telling you, girl, since meeting her, you know, it was.
Lots of good stuff.
It's been very beautiful and magical.
So I had Lori, who works for me. I was like, I gave her your email and I was like, contact her. So it was like, and that's the way it is in my world. Like, somebody be like, this idea, and like the next day we're doing it. Someone said to me recently, how long was it between you had the idea for the bowls to you were in production and selling? And I'm like, 14 days. You're like, 14 days? I mean,
wait, what?
Yeah. So. That's, you know, so you got awesome. To come to the event, which was a lot of fun. It was our wrap-up book tour. It was, you know, it was a special, magical thing. And one of the things I ask is just the thread. So my last question I want to ask you is, you know, I'm all about following the thread and the thread. And you know, is there anything you want to say about that, your thread and what's happening with it?
Definitely. You know, the Instagram is growing. I try not to oversaturate it, but... Yeah. There's just so much fun stuff I'm going to be putting out there. The IGTV channel that Julia and I are going to start, is we're going to pop that up pretty soon. But you just follow my thread and Hi Pretty Film for updates about the film. And www.girlswithflair.com. You can always check that out. And be some fun outlets. Yeah, those are probably the main threads that you can follow and watch. And of course, Daniel Hoff Agency, Lucy and I are always on that feed.
Daniel Hoff, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm like the mother of the Daniel Hoff Agency. Well, my last thing I want to ask you is your name. How did you pick it? And, you know, you told me an interesting little story and I want you to tell me.
Yeah. You know, again, birth name Felicia, and a friend of mine was like, hey, Lee, you look like Lee. And then my middle name is Dawn. So I was like, wait a minute, Lee Dawn. And if you say it fast enough, you know, it sounds like Lee Dawn.
Lee Dawn.
Yeah, like, and that's always what I've done in my entire life is, you know, I've always tried to be a leader in any positive way I can. It just made sense. It was like, whoa, the dissection has been done, and there you are.
I love
it. You know, it's like a butterfly.
I love it. So where do people find you on Instagram? Is it called?
It's at Lee Dawn Hershey. And Hershey is spelled just like the candy bar.
There you go. And they are darling with a lot of fantastic ink.
Oh, yeah. All these tattoos. And thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I just want to tell you, I absolutely love the relationship that you and Lucy have. It's just so beautiful and very motivating. I want to be a good mom like you are, you know, and the things that you are learning and the things that you're open to, it's just unreal. It's so beautiful. And I think you guys are doing such a beautiful job of raising awareness for people.
Thank you. I like to say that I'm a proud rainbow mom. You know
what I mean? You have a rainbow shirt on right now. Yesterday, like, gorgeous.
I'm a proud rainbow
mom. And Cards Against Humanity, Thank you for having us here.
Yeah.
This
They're
is
pretty
beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jax and
this is great.
Joe Feldman, the whole group. So
unbelievable.
So thank you so much. If you guys are looking for me, I mean, first of all, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, definitely get on there. We're talking about all kinds of things about life. We don't know the answers. We're just figuring out the questions. But you can find me on Instagram at No Crumbs Left, on the blog at No Crumbs Left, and Facebook, No Crumbs Left. And definitely get that book, No Crumbs Left. Have a great day.